Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is everyone awake and ready?
Awake and ready.
Good. Let us pray together. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Great Master,
Beloved Mother,
Saints and Sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peaceless. Amen. Something funny and lovely at the same time. This is the first time that I've received a letter on a napkin before. This comes from Kathy Kelly. Dear David, I'm in my car, no paper, but wanted to get this mailed. She's mailing in her tithing. Continued light coming to you as your body heals. God is great. God is majestic and shines above all the winter clouds. God, Christ, Guru. So, great words on a napkin. Good use for the napkin. And an email from Kate. As they celebrated Mother's Maha Samadhi at the Nandashram, Kate wrote, earlier than we are, a day earlier. The afternoon session on Mother went well. I opened with Mother's prayer, read your message, and then a little background on Mother, read the excerpt from Mother's talk, spoke more about her teachings, took questions, and ended with Om's and Ram Nam. All said they could feel Mother's presence and said they learned new things about her. So I responded, to make Mother's presence more conscious to the ashramites, such a great thing to do. Each may draw from Mother exactly what is needed, but I think that her emphasis on not being sinners but sons of God, and that she loved both the human and the divine in each one of us, are two timeless and timely messages from which many can draw inspiration. Thank you for your seva. Please pass on my loving pronouns. Then she responded, thank you, David. It has been my great privilege. You should see how radiant Mother's picture is in the Bhajan Hall today between Papa and Mataji with the garland and beautiful flower arrangement we ordered. So, lovely to have her there and representing Mother for all of us. And this is what she had read, that I had written, fully human and divine. In the year 2016, we celebrate the silver anniversary of Mother's Maha Samadhi, the conscious leaving of the body by a great spiritual master such as Mother is but a capstone to the remarkable life she lived beforehand. In writing about Mother, I remember watching an interview with a famous actress in which she said the best advice she ever received was to not try to portray all aspects of her character in one scene. In that same way, there is no possibility of conveying who or what Mother truly was with one or even a million tries. All we can hope to do is give a glimpse of the uniqueness of her divine life. Being in her presence, I always felt that Mother was at once so warm and loving, and at the same time, I could never fully know her. There was an infinite and unknowable source for her natural human expression. Far from being disconcerting, this unknowable aspect gave a hint about her divine nature. Mother was unique in many ways, but one aspect of her nature she revealed when she described her state of realization, quote, "I am both fully human and divine." As aspiring souls, we oftentimes see our humanness as an obstacle to attaining the realization of God, and in truth, that may be so in the moment. Therefore, we envision a realized master as no longer having any humanness left. It has all been consumed in the fire of divine realization. However, true spiritual masters have transcended delusion, do not fear their continued human expression. Rather, they see it as a natural expression of their divinity, a barrier no more. Mother clearly saw people, nature, and all creation as expressions of the infinite consciousness of God. Therefore, she loved all life, for it was all God. This transformation of consciousness from the purely human to the purely divine, from the purely human to both human and divine, is difficult for us to conceive. It is one of the many reasons for having a living guru. In the guru, we meet both the human and divine, and it forces us to face what seems like a hopeless paradox to our searching minds. I would sometimes wonder what Mother was doing when home alone. Was she levitating up on the ceiling? Would I be surprised if she was watching some television? Or would it shock me that she was a wonderful cook and enjoyed eating what she prepared, or that she drank a cup of coffee after her meal, that she loved being with people, and she also valued having her privacy as well? For some, these human elements took away from Mother's divine attainment. But for sincere aspirants, it gave hope. Self-realization was not a star unobtainable. Through Mother's simple human expression, you get a glimpse of God as intimately connected with yourself, as well as being so much more. And this was Mother's message to all of us. Yes, you are a human being, but never forget that you are infinite in nature as well. While living your life as a human, you have the capacity to realize your divine nature that is so well hidden within you. Do not give up because you are too much aware of your humanity, but seek out God with all your will, with all your attention, and very importantly, with all your love. For as the Galilean master once said, "Ask and it will be given, seek and you will find." For grace will do the heavy lifting when you give your all. You need not fear or despair. This message is not just for a lucky few, but it is for all. I can think of no better way to honor Mother's tremendous life than to emulate her by seeking out God and His heaven with everything you have, and to serve Him in all those with whom your life comes into contact. Always remember that behind the veil of materiality, Mother's grace is constantly being showered upon you. She may have shed her mortal coil, but her tremendous love for you has never been greater, a love for both your humanity and your divinity. I'd like to read from this past journal, Mother's writing. Each one of us sees his own Christ upon his own cross. That is why so many pictures which have been painted of Christ all are different, because they are the artist's conception of what he sees the Christ to be, because that Christ is universal. He has form, but he goes beyond form. He is pure spirit. He is pure light. And I want to tell you that the road is not easy. You will have to be willing to suffer, but you have a choice to make. You can go on suffering day by day with all the mundane things of the world, the ups and the downs, the disappointments and the joys. One moment you're up, you're in heaven because something you want is going to happen. The next minute you're down in the depths of despair because it has been taken away from you, or things aren't just the way you want. And you say, "Oh Lord, help me, help me." And there He is walking beside you all the time. Lo, I am with you always, inside of you, your comfort, the one who is ready to pack your burdens, the one who is ready to do everything for you, the one who has all knowledge, all power over all the kingdoms of not only your body, but of all the earth. And if you will only contact him, who is the source of all things, when you come to that point, then you start to go on a greater journey. The soul is lifted up and you come into contact with the metaphysical world. Then you come into contact with the higher spiritual world. And then you are given a teacher. Many of them are not masters. They have come a great way. These are called saints. And then you find sometimes a supreme master who has gone all the way, who has truly picked up their cross and followed the Christ, gone through the state of human death and come back to teach a doubting world the truth of what they have experienced. I have told you many times, because it is one of the books that was written about Ramakrishna, that he told the story of the Salto, who went into the ocean and hoped to come out of that ocean and tell everybody what the experience was. But when the salt doll went into the ocean, she melted because she was made of salt and she couldn't come out. But the one who goes all the way is blessed indeed. And that one sees the spirit of the ocean, which draws again the salt to her bosom and fashions a form upon which he leaves on the shore to tell all men that God is life and life is God. And there is no such thing as death. I want you to remember that. There is no such thing as death. But during your sojourn here, God has given you this life. He has put you here at this moment in time. And he has put you here for one purpose. And that is to find your union with him. To find out who and what you are, your true self. You must let him make the decision as to when it is time for you to leave, because if you die to the humanness within you, that is a good death. It should be rejoiced over. Certainly, it is a tremendous experience. Some of you say, many of you have said to me, I can't bear the thought of when you leave this body. The time has to come sometime, you know. But my spirit is the spirit of God, even as yours is. And so I can say to you, like the Christ, Lo, I am with you always, because his spirit, which is my own and yours, is within you. And who knows, and I would hate to think that you would destroy yourself, that you would go backwards. I would like to think that you, like I did, when I had the tremendous grief of losing my own guru, do everything in the world, turn it upside down to show my love for him, to put forth the truth of his teachings. And I went through plenty, believe me, and I still go through it to this day because I'm still getting repercussions because of the fact I fought for the truth which he came to give. But it doesn't matter to me because I still stand on his instructions to me, that not of an organization. I stand on the instructions of God and my own guru, and I have full license, full freedom to teach from that which I myself have experienced. So what do I need to fear? Nothing. Yet constantly, no matter where I go, I have this little thorn in my side. It doesn't matter, only to those who do it, because they are the ones that are going to have to one day pay for it. We build karma that we know not of sometimes, and that is too bad. And only when we are in the midst of the tremendous experience that each soul must go through, do we wish to God that we hadn't done some of the things that we have. And yet, that too was God, because life is a growing experience, and God is all of life. And it is through the mistakes that we make when we finally are lifted up. We learn our lessons. Knowledge comes through suffering, not through anything else. And when you have suffered sufficiently and gone into the heaven of your own being, you will find that everything I tell you is true. Many of you have experienced it. You have tasted it. And one more reading from the Gospel of Swami Ramdas. It begins with Mother's husband Ralph asking Papa, "To see God within, what should be done?" Papa, "One should pray to God within to reveal himself. One should meditate on him. First of all, one has to know and believe that God is within. Then only can one direct all of one's prayers to him within. The mind must be attuned to him constantly. Then alone can he be realized in one's heart." Father, "But meditation is difficult." Papa, "Constant practice is necessary. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same has been discussed. Arjuna, after hearing something about divine knowledge from the lips of Lord Krishna, asks the Lord how he can control the mind, which is restless as the wind and hard to still. The Lord answers that it is, no doubt, difficult to control the mind, but it is possible to do with abhisya and viragya. Abhisya means practice and viragya means dispassion. You should have regular practice of the spiritual disciplines, and you must have absolute dispassion for worldly things. You must be completely detached from them. Dispassion comes by discrimination. You must know that all things in the world are perishable, and by attaching ourselves to them, thinking that we will be happy, we get nothing but sorrow and misery. The happiness that you get in the world is momentary and is always followed by unhappiness. So we must not run after these illusory things. Real happiness comes only from God. We must get detached from the worldly things and attach ourselves to God, who is absolute bliss and peace. When our mind is attached to God, you will think of him constantly. Then meditation becomes easy. Steady and constant practice is also required to attain quicker results. Father Hamilton. They may have take several births to attain that standard of meditation. How many of you have thought that? And Papa says, no, no. Pray to God earnestly, and he will come to your rescue. Of course, when you pray, you must have that much faith. By his grace, everything is possible. If man tries to succeed by his own effort, he fails. If he fails, so much the better for him, because he learns that he is weak and helpless. See what he says here? If he fails, so much the better for him, because he learns that he is weak and helpless. In that helplessness, God's grace will flow into him. When we think we are capable of doing something, he will leave it up to us to do. In this connection, Ram Dass remembers a story. A devotee of Shiva was passing through a forest. He had had in his possession a few valuable articles. Seeing him, a robber wanted to waylay him. When the robber drew near, the devotee knew that he would be robbed of his valuables. He shouted aloud the name of Shiva and cried for help. Shiva was then talking to his consort, Parvati, in Kailash. Shiva suddenly left Parvati and came away without telling her. But in a few seconds, Shiva went back. To Parvati's question, Shiva explained, "A devotee was in danger and called out for my help. As I was going to him, I saw he was taking a stone in his hand and was about to fling it at the robber. When the devotee thought he could take care of himself, I had nothing to do, so I came away." You see how God is ready to come to our help when we call on him in a state of helplessness. But if we have a trace of feeling that we can help ourselves, he will not come to our aid. When we are talking about Shiva and poverty, Ram Dass will tell you something else. Shiva used to go away from Kailash, leaving poverty alone. He never felt sad that he had to go alone, as he had realized his oneness with all beings and knew that there is really no separation from poverty. But Poverty did not have this experience. She felt lonely when Shiva was away from her. One day, she requested Shiva to give her the same experience as he had, so that she would also not feel his absence. Shiva agreed and asked her to sit for meditation in a particular posture and close her eyes. When she did so, he asked, "What do you see in your mental vision?" "I see your form because you are the beloved of my heart. Seeing my form is no good. You must take your mind deeper. What do you see now?" "I hear the Om." "That won't do. When you hear the Om, the hearer and the heard are separate. They must merge into one. Go deeper still. What do you see now?" "I see flashes of light." "When you see light, the seer and the seen are separate. They must merge into one. Go deeper still. What do you see now?" There is no answer. Shiva asked again, "What do you see now? What do you see now?" There was no answer. She had merged into the infinite existence of God, the universal self. She no longer remained as a separate entity to say what she saw or heard. After some time, she returned to world consciousness. The words, "Aham Brahmasmi," issued from her. She had experienced her absolute oneness with the infinite existence and could no longer feel the separation from Shiva. What that absolute experience is cannot be described. Those who have experienced it know what it is, but they cannot tell others what it is. It cannot be expressed in words. In this connection, Ram Dass will tell you another story. There was a Brahmin who had two boys whom he had sent to the hermitage of a sage for 12 years of study. During their stay with the master, the boys learnt everything and returned home. Their father called one of them and asked him to tell him what Brahman is. The boy went on quoting from the scriptures all that he could remember to tell his father about Brahman. The father then called the other boy and asked him the same question repeatedly. The boy kept silent. There was no answer at all. The father then said, "Son, you have found him, but your brother has not." Brahman cannot be expressed in words. Those who have found him do not try to explain what he is. They remain in silence. Silence is Brahman. Om is the first sound that rose from the bosom of the infinite existence of God. As though to break the silence that ensued, a devotee asked a question about the scriptures, and Papa answered at length, describing the events as having actually happened historically. Then Mother Hamilton, "Papa, I would like to verify a revelation which God has given me. You speak of the scriptures as actual history of places, people, and events described. Is it not true that, as God has shown me, that every scripture tells not only about the creation or expression of God in the form of the universe and various stellar systems, but also that they tell the story of the evolution of every man from the human to the divine?" Papa looked straight at Mother Hamilton and said in a very powerful voice, "You have made him say it." She said afterwards that as Papa looked at her and spoke those words so forcefully, it was as though a bolt of lightning had gone right through the center of her head. It was a great moment of truth. And so, of course, we've come today to honor Mother's life and the impact that she's had on this world. When I read what she had said about everybody wanting to go with her, it reminded me of a time that I had asked her. I said, "Mother, when you leave this body, you should take us all with you, because none of us want to be here without you." And she said, "Well, who would carry on the work then?" So it was left at that, and I guess we were to be left behind in that sense. We have all come to accomplish something great in this life, and Mother reminded us of that constantly, because it is our want to go with this world, to get swayed into all the concerns that this world represents. It takes real work in order to redirect the mind away from this world and direct it towards God. This is true in the beginning because we have been so conditioned by being in this world that it is all powerful. It is the thing that we must bow in obedience to. But this is absolutely false, and as Papa pointed out, the more times that we try on our own, the more happiness that we seek in this world only, the more disappointed we get. Now, this may take many, many lifetimes. We are very sure of our theory that this world can be bent in such a way that we will achieve absolute happiness, joy, and bliss right here in this life without God. But it is not possible. So the Guru comes to awaken us. This is what the Guru means, that it is the light that takes away the darkness. And it is that illumination, it is that understanding and realization that comes to us. That is the only purpose for the Guru to be in the body. And so Mother fulfilled that purpose. She lifted up all those with whom she came into contact with. She taught the truth as God had given it to her. She expended herself night and day in order to do this. And as a result of that, many, many souls were lifted up. Now, Jesus once said that many are called, but few are chosen. And as you know, sometimes I have slightly changed that. And I say many are called, but few choose. Because it is our choosing that is most important in the beginning. God's grace certainly comes into us. If somebody has never had any God experience whatsoever, I don't blame them for doubting or not thinking that there is a God other than the physical evidence in this world. You look at the tremendous design that has gone in, the intelligence, the power of this creation. And all you have to do is ask yourself, could this happen by happenstance? And it's so clear that it cannot be. There is design to all of this. Well, if you admit that, then it opens the door. All right, who is the designer? What is the intelligence? Where does it come from? You may not believe in the traditional God, as oftentimes has been given down, sitting in some antiseptic corner of the universe with a beard and long gown and handing out smotes and smites left and right. And that's all right, because that is a child's version of what God is and can never contain the tremendous intelligence, the tremendous power, the tremendous realization of what God consciousness is. We must start out as an empty vessel because this mind cannot know God in the beginning. And so Mother came to teach us this, to awaken us to this, and therefore she stands as foremost of teachers, both universal and mundane, because the truth that she taught could free us from the mundane, free us from ignorance, and bring us into that full and complete realization if we but choose. So with that as an introduction, today I wanted to play the only recording, the video recording we have of Mother giving a talk. And I don't know why it turned out to be the only video recording. It was all available at the time, but Mother was very mysterious in these kinds of things. She orchestrated things exactly the way that she wanted it. So this is what we have, and so I would like to play it today. It's so wonderful to have Mother's presence in that way. Going in within, let us feel that presence of God. Great spiritual masters, having become one with God, have the same feeling of upliftment and bliss and purity that we experience in the formless, beginningless, endless aspect of divine consciousness. So to feel that bliss within you, that peace, that purity, and let it shine out to this entire world. This world is in such sore need of healing, of coming together, going beyond religion, in the sense of not fighting about it. If one wants to follow a particular religion, very good. But to respect the ways that others have taken in order to approach the infinite Lord. In that sense, there is as many ways as there are people, because each one of us approach it slightly differently. And to respect that throughout all creation. Take that light and let it shine. Let it inform your good works. Let it be a prayer for this world. And let others' light and inspiration continue to shine through your mind, your words, your activities. Do this, and you will pay the greatest honor to Mother and the Guru lineage. Now let us pray. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Special prasad that Larry brought from Anandashram. And as well, Larry designed this card for the silver anniversary of Mother's Mahasamadhi handout, and Jill had it printed up, so appreciate all the good seva.